Well, I'm thankful to be here. Thankful for the people of God. Thankful to be, by God's grace, one of you. Ask for your prayers. The Lord would bless his word to us this afternoon. Have a burden to do a little teaching this afternoon. Pray that it will be profitable to us. Like to consider something that I believe Scripture teaches us is very important. Like to consider the thought of divine leadership. I want to begin in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53. And the 6th verse says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The scripture says that Jesus looked upon the people as sheep having no shepherd. He saw a people who were prone to wander, prone to go astray, that needed leadership and guidance. You know, every one of us have gone astray in our lives and are in need of a Savior. We're in need of leadership, in need of guidance. The scripture says that in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says of man that it is, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." It is not within ourselves to be able to direct our steps and our paths and to guide ourselves. We were not created to be self-sufficient beings, but to be fully dependent upon the Lord. We need guidance. We need leadership. You know what a lack of leadership does? Consider in a business, for example, in a company. Well, there's all kinds of debate about how much a CEO is paid. Whatever you might think of that, companies are willing to pay a lot of money for leadership. Their purpose and objective is to be able to provide a vision for the company. Here's why we exist. Here's what our purpose is, what our objective is, who we're trying to serve, and the product that we're trying to sell or service we're trying to provide to our customers. Here's our vision and our purpose. Here's how we're going to execute to that. And to try to keep everyone aligned and pointed in the same direction. Well, there's something much more important than the work of any business or company. My real burden this afternoon is concerning the leadership of God's church. We need individually leadership in our lives. Believe we've touched on that. We need guidance. We need direction. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So I can't depend on myself to direct my own steps. The way I think my life ought to be ordered and the way that I think it ought to go. We heard last night about plans, and my plans many times will come on a crash course with God's plans, and I have to choose, which way am I going to go? Am I going to try to direct my own steps and my own path? We kind of see what that results in this world. Or am I going to yield myself to the leadership of God in my life? Lord, you bring into my life what you see as best. Lord, you lead me. And guide me. But I'd like to turn now to the book of Ephesians, considering the leadership of a body, an organization, a group that is far different in nature than any company or earthly organization. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse says, "The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ is, the scripture tells us here, the head of the church. You know, when it comes to teaching, sometimes we will look at things like that and maybe even assume that we all know these things. That, well, this is simple, this is basic. But you know, that fundamental truth is so largely lost in the church world today. There is one head to the body of Christ. There is one head of the church. There is one church. There is one body that Christ came and to redeem unto himself. It is a divine organization, not an organization that was founded by a CEO or a founder, not one that's governed by a board, but there's a head. Leadership. You see in these scriptures the parallel between the home and the church. You know, God is a God of order. He's a God that is not a God of chaos. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians that he is not the author of confusion, but he is a God of order. And when we submit ourselves to his order in our lives and in our homes, in our congregations, it is the best way and the only way that it's going to function as Christ designed. There is a way for us to order our homes. You know, there is leadership that's needed. It's not just to be a free-for-all. Children are not just to be on an equal plane when it comes to making decisions and setting the direction and the course that we're going to go. There is an order of leadership that is described here. But you know, there's a difference between leadership and management. Think about it for a moment. There are some people who like to be able to have a title of being a manager. I want to be able to be over other people. There's something about it that it does for me to know that I've got the corner office and that these people report to me. And I manage that. I'm over that. I want everyone to know I have an authority over this. You know the difference then with a leader? A leader shows the way. A leader's willing to roll up his sleeves, so to speak, and get in there and do the work with you. A leader is willing to show by example, here's the way to go. A leader is willing to inspire others by putting their own heart into a thing. There is no greater leader than Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to a measure that none of us could rival. He gave himself, he gave his life for the church. And so showed the devotion and the love that he has for his body. And then comes the charge to me. Husbands, love your wives. You lead as you are led. And I want us to get a hold of, when it comes to leadership, we are not ready and able to lead until we ourselves can be led. We're not able to lead others until I can be led myself. When it comes to the home, I have to be able to lead as I am led of Christ. Everything in its order, according as Christ and his wisdom has designed and set up. Paul said, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and the first verse, "Be followers of me, You know, there are a lot of people that say that. Follow me. I want to create a gathering. I want to create an identity for myself. I want to brand myself and promote myself. And I want you to be able to recognize and associate my name and my face maybe with this thing and this organization or this business. Be a follower of me. So Paul said also. But he didn't stop there as he went on to say, even as I also am of Christ. You follow me as I follow Christ. And that's a safe rule to follow. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. How many heads does this body have? There is one head to the body of Christ. And it's not you, and it's not me, it's not any other person. It is Jesus Christ himself is the head of this body. He is the one that is to be exalted. He is the one that is to have the preeminence in all things. It is by him that we exist, by him that all things consist. He is the beginning, he is the Alpha and the Omega. You know, we can look sometimes at saints of God and older brothers and sisters that we have confidence in and respect for, and we see them moving on to the latter years of their life, and then the Lord takes one of them. Have you ever felt this way? Lord, we can't lose them. Lord, we can't afford to lose that one. We can't afford to let that one go. Lord, what's going to happen? I remember whenever a brother who was lead the services at Monarch, well, just Brother Sammons. I'm just old enough to remember Brother Sammons leading the services at Monarch, and it just seems so natural, and the Lord blessed him in that place to fill that place in the body. And I remember when he passed thinking, it's not going to be the same. How are we going to do? That's been a number of years ago. This is the Lord's work. It's not mine and it's not yours. There is someone who was before any of us ever came along, and he is the head of this body. We've got to keep him there. Amen. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. He might be the one that is exalted. That it is about Christ above, before, and after all. The preeminence. Scripture says, I believe John spoke and said of a man named Diotrephes, that he loves to have the preeminence. It was a problem. Because there's one head of this body, and it's Christ. And he is the one that is to have the preeminence in everything that we do and say. Hebrews, the 8th chapter, I'd like to consider a fulfillment of a precious prophecy. Speaking of the new covenant that would be given to God's people, the 11th verse of Hebrews 8 says, they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. It is important for us that we rightly divide the word of God, and the word of God will never contradict itself. Is this scripture saying that there's no place for teaching? Absolutely not. For that is one of the gifts that God placed in the body. But this is telling us, oh blessed truth, that we won't have to go through a man as an intercessor for us. That I'm not going to have to go to a body of people to find out and to say, how am I supposed to live my life here? What are the rules? But that we can each one know the head. We can each one be connected to the head. It is from him that all things exist when it comes to this body. Yeah. Talking about leadership, the leadership of his body. Scripture says that the government is upon his shoulder. Thank the Lord for that. Because I don't have big enough shoulders. But I'm thankful that the government is his. The body is his. The work is his. I have observed organizations, I'll call them, that have exalted man to be the leader, to be the head. Where man has set themselves in a position to say, we'll tell you the colors you're going to wear, the length, the pattern, every detail of your clothing and where you live and who you're going to marry and which congregation you're going to go to and every detail of your life and the color of car that you can drive. And I've seen the oppression of man rule. And I've seen the destruction that it's worked in people's lives. And I've seen a people as a wounded body of sheep that have never learned the voice of the shepherd. There is one head. And thank the Lord again, each one of us can be and must be connected to that one head. I have also observed people who have come to a place, they say, I've had enough of man rule. And they've come out of a man rule system and have totally lost their way. I never learned the voice of the shepherd. I never learned what it meant to be led by the Spirit rather than by man. There is a balance again to all the Word of God. The Lord has placed in his body members to be able to function and gifts to be able to function according to his divine purpose. Anytime we begin to get out of that order and out of that purpose, the body cannot function as it will. You know, our ultimate responsibility, and I'll say for me as a minister and others called to a like place in the body, is to bring people to a relationship with Christ. To be able to bring folks and introduce them and help them to be able to get hooked in and connected directly for themselves. You get a hold of from the Lord what your convictions are. Again, there is a place and a responsibility that we have to teach the whole and full Word of God under the inspiration and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And there's a responsibility that each one of us have that we get a hold of for ourselves, the leadership. The divine leadership in my life. And to be able to understand what that means. I had an opportunity a while back to go to a local Philharmonic orchestra. I don't know that much about music. But I observed the conductor of that orchestra. And I observed the motions that the conductor made. And I observed the eyes of the people that were in the orchestra pit fixed on that conductor. And I observed all the different instruments, which by confess, I couldn't even name to you. But all the different players of those instruments in the right moment. The right volume and everything coming in just at the right time. You know, if any one of those players were to say, you know, I play the trombone and to me it's the most beautiful instrument there is out here. And I'm going to play for everything it's worth. You know, a beautiful thing can become an ugly thing in a hurry. Leadership is needed. For each one to be able to know, because this isn't a single man band, for each person to be able to know, how do I complement the other members of this body? How do I contribute my part? When do I contribute my part? Who is the conductor of the church of God? There is a responsibility for each one of us to have our eyes fixed upon his leadership. And it's not that of a man. For each one of us to be able to know the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just as any one of those instruments deciding to go rogue becomes an ugly thing. You know, do we realize and appreciate the beauty of Holy Spirit leadership? I trust that we do, because it is a beautiful and a rare thing. And it works. But there are elements that must be incorporated for it to work properly. And if those elements are not there, what was designed to be one of the most beautiful things becomes a clashing and a clanging and a discord of something that just doesn't work. Holy Spirit leadership. Now, this is simple. Holy Spirit leadership works when we are led by the Holy Spirit. That's what it is, isn't it? You know, that's for every member in the body. That I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you know, that doesn't begin when we walk through these doors. It's a life that's lived. It's a relationship that's lived. It's a voice that's learned and that's heeded in the smallest details of life. To learn the voice of the shepherd. When I learn his voice outside of these walls, whenever I hear a still small voice behind me saying, Clint, don't say that. Clint, not right now. Clint, I want you to... When I hear those checks and I recognize that, yes, and I heed that, yes, you know, I just bring that same thing into our services. Amen. And when the Lord calls on me, I'm going to tell you, it is a beautiful picture, the different members of this body. And we don't have time to belabor it, I think, this afternoon. But if every member of this body thought of themselves more highly than they ought to think, it wouldn't work. Conversely, if every member of the body thought of themselves lower than what they should think, it wouldn't work. If one member says, I'm not the eye, so I'm not useful. Or if all of the members were the eye, where were the hearing? Read about these things in the Word of God, where we're given the pattern of this body. But when we all function according to the plan that God has for me, it becomes beautiful and it harmonizes. You know, I may not be able to describe to you how to harmonize like others who know music better. You know, I can recognize it when I hear it, where there's harmony, and I can recognize where there's discord. Whenever we all function under the auspice and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we come together, and we're doing that collectively, it'll produce, and I believe today that we know the sound, it'll produce a harmony of spirit and of heart that is beyond and yet also heard in the voices, a harmony of spirit that is beautiful. But thinking about this divine leadership, Holy Spirit leadership, I mentioned a moment ago that a beautiful thing can become ugly. If you have a lack of order in your services, in our services, a lack of order or structure, without the Holy Spirit leadership, it's chaos. I want to repeat that. If we have a lack of order and structure, everybody shows up, well, just show up whatever time you want, and we're going to, it becomes a free-for-all. Also, if we have order and structure, we've got it. We've got the order and we've got the structure, but we don't have the Holy Spirit working and moving amongst us. It becomes a lifeless, dead entity. I don't want chaos, and I don't want a lifeless, dead entity. I want the elements to be able to be in place for Holy Spirit leadership as it is set forth and designed and made available to us to be able to be realized in the years to come amongst us. And for me to realize the responsibility that I have to that. You know, this isn't a spectator sport. You know, every one of us are afforded the privilege to be a part of this. Amen. This isn't something where you're going to come and you're going to observe maybe a small selected group of the best singers with pre-selected hymns that they're going to sing and have rehearsed, and it's perfectly synchronized start to finish of the service. You know, every one of us, rather than just being spectators of a show, can be participants of the blessed worship of God together. This is something that you experience. This is experiential. This is something that we can come and the songs can ring true and vibrate a chord at the same frequency right within my heart. And my heart leaps and says, it's true. I know it. I recognize that sound. That rings true with me. And we can experience it for ourselves. I am more interested in that, in us being able as an organic body of Christ, in being able to each one be a contributing member of this body. Not interested in this being a show. I'm not interested in this being a performance. I'm going to tell you, we can't outperform the performers. We're not going to be able to. If that's where our hope is, we might as well hang it up and go home, because it's not happening. I appreciate the singing of the saints. I love the singing of the saints. I love the preaching that we hear of the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you what I love about it. I love the sound that I hear coming from it. I love the witness of the Spirit within it. It's about more than a beautiful sound. You ever heard a beautiful sound that just had a hollow note to it? You know, we can come and watch one of the best performances and leave none changed. But by the Spirit of the Lord working among us, we don't leave the same. I'd like to look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. This is dealing with tongues. It's dealing with the order of services and the chaos that can ensue if it's not properly ordered. It says in the 24th verse, if all prophesy or speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. That's not by performance. It's not by something mechanical. It is by the anointing of the Holy Spirit working in and among and through us as his body. That's what will make the difference. Think about where the apostles after, let's see, when was it? Was it after they graduated, received their diploma from seminary? I'm hoping you're still awake with me, because the answer is a resounding no. Peter and John said that they observed them. And there was something they noticed about them, that they were ignorant and unlearned men. You might have reached the same conclusion about me. That's okay. If that conclusion can be joined with the next one, they also took note of them that they've been with Jesus. That went beyond the level of learning. It went beyond what they had rehearsed. It went beyond the training. The Holy Spirit had done the preparation. The Holy Spirit had done the shaping. The Holy Spirit had done the placing in the body. Because it is God who places the members in the body as how? As it pleases Him. Because this is not the church of Clint or the church of fill in your name or anyone else's name. It is the church of the living God. He is the head. By Him, all of this exists or is possible. He is the one that is to have preeminence. It is Him that this body is named after. This wasn't named according to a naming convention. It wasn't a poll that was sent out. What would you like the name to be created? But this is that which is the whole family in heaven and earth is named after the Father. The church of God. This is a divine living body. It is not just a collection of people who come together, and it's not just to be mechanical motions that we go through. We set up our meetings and our services week to week. It's necessary. It's part of the plan and the pattern. But if we don't have all of the ingredients and elements in place, we can and run the risk of becoming a form, a lifeless body. I'm not accusing us of that. I'm saying, Lord, help us that we not be spectators. Lord, help us when we come through these doors or wherever we come to worship the Lord. Lord, I'm in this not because I'm going through the motions. I'm in this not because it's just, well, it's expected of me. Lord, I'm coming because I want to be fed and blessed to my soul. Lord, I'm coming because I want to meet You in that place. Lord, I'm coming because I want to feel Your glory down in my soul. I'm coming because I have needs in my heart and in my life. Things that maybe I've struggled with, and I know where my help comes from. Lord, I'm coming to hear from Your Word. I'm coming to look into the perfect law of liberty. And it goes beyond myself. As I said, it's not a one-man band, so to speak. Lord, we are workers together. We are called to be workers together. This is not about any one person. Oh, thank the Lord. All ye are brethren. I'm going to tell you that message, it rings true to me and it is precious. And not just in other countries, but I've been in other countries where there is such an exalting of one over another and a pastor and a bishop, and they have a special place to park. And last time I was over there, they said, we've got a table up for you in front of everybody else in one chair. We want you to sit up there. And I said, would it be all right if I sit back here with the brothers? Well, we wanted to honor you. I appreciate it, but let me sit with the brothers and let's honor Christ. Let's put Him above all and foremost. This isn't about exalting anyone. You know what a minister is? Boy, they've reached the pinnacle. Lord, help us. Boy, they reached the bottom. The servant of all. Isn't that what Christ came to do? I want to repeat again, we are not qualified and able to lead until we ourselves are able to be led. Until I can recognize Christ's leadership in my own life and in my own heart. That I've got to follow His leadings in my life. And when I do that, He's going to lead me in paths that bring me to my knees. He's going to lead me in paths that bring me to some humility that I didn't even know I needed to reach. But I look back and I look upon my Savior, and I say, He was the example. He's the chief shepherd that I'm following. And I'm not going to be able to lead. If the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch. Oh, Lord, help us that I get my eyes on the Lord. It's not just about me, But I want to encourage us, every one of you that's here today or listening, God has a place for you in the body. He's got a place for you to fill. Fill it. Let's give ourselves to the Lord. Lord, we want to yield to your workings in my life. And so when we come together, and we've been exercising this outside of these walls, and we come together and the Holy Spirit moving through these pews touches one sister over there to stand and give a testimony and lays on somebody's heart to call a song. I'm going to tell you, you can't pre-plan all that. You can't sit down and say, okay, well, this one seems to go with that. And, you know, this message, this song would probably fit in good here. There is no adequate substitute, no substitute that I'm willing to accept for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When we come together and our hearts flow together and the Lord's presence comes and moves in our midst. Say, I tell you, your grammar might not be just right. If the Lord touches your heart, I want to hear what He says to you. So I want the Lord to be able to be exalted in everything that we do and say. But what is true on a collective basis is true on an individual basis. The gift that the Lord has given you, the place the Lord has given you in the body, is valuable. It is needful. There's just something missing without it. But you know, used out of its proper place and out of sync with the conductor, it's going to become ugly. You know something about the saints? They're not nearly as impressed with skill and ability as being able to recognize the hand of God in somebody's life. Being able to recognize the sweet sound of the Spirit that they themselves have been tuned into all through the week. And it's on that same frequency. It's the same moving of the Spirit, and it witnesses to me, and I recognize that. That's what is needful for every one of us. You know what it'll mean? It'll mean for me, when the Lord shows me what my place in the body is, there's going to be places for me to exercise. There's going to be times for me to be quiet. This same chapter in 1 Corinthians is talking about the proper order. This is the house of God. This is the church of God. You know who sets the house rules? The head of the house. This is his house. And he sets the house rules. He's the one that set the pattern of the church of God. How do we order ourselves? You know just some of the things that it says in here? If you have something to say, be willing to say it, but don't everybody say it at the same time. You got a song to sing, you've got words to speak, sing it. Say it as the Lord inspires you, but don't do it every time. Follow the leadings of the Lord. Learn the difference between the impulse of emotion and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. To be able to recognize, you know what, there may be 100 other people who are feeling stirred right now. Oh Lord, help me to learn, to discern. I think about in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, where it talks about being a mature child of God. And it says that strong meat belongs unto them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's vital. You know what else is vital? Having our senses exercised to discern the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Having our senses, spiritual senses exercised. It means, again, I'm exercising it outside of here. I'm exercising it before I ever go to camp meeting. To learn the voice of the Lord. To learn His check. To learn His governance of my mind, of my words, of my mouth. You remember Moses got into trouble. Whenever he repeated what he had done before, struck the rock, But the Lord had said, speak to the rock. You can't lead until you're willing to be led. We can't assume because God has blessed in years past. It's just a given that the blessings are just going to continue carrying on. You know the wonderful truth? They can. Throughout the ages, they can and will to a body, to a people who humble themselves before the hand of God and allow God to work and move. But we can't just take it for granted. It's not just because it says Church of God out on the outside wall of the building. Lord, help me to bring the proper elements of this spiritual sacrifice, to render this sacrifice of my lips in a proper way. We worship the Lord today. I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us. There's a need for teaching. There's a need for us to understand the principles of the Word of God. Why do we do the things we do? Do we just run out of church budget and that's why we don't have an organ here? I'll tell you, that's not the reason. Lord, help us to understand what spiritual sacrifices are. What it is that we can bring before the Lord, that the Lord can pour His holy anointing upon. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. As we bring our whole body, our whole selves. Folks, this hits me too. I've been praying, Lord, help me to be present. Lord, help me to put my heart into this thing. Lord, help me when I come to a meeting, I don't want to just be a bystander. Well, I hope they got it together tonight. I hope somebody came ready for something. Maybe the Lord's got a prayer for you to offer. Maybe the Lord doesn't just call one person or two people in the congregation to pray. Maybe the Lord would like to begin exercising some other members of the body. It is, again, a beautiful thing when we are led of the Holy Spirit. There is a place and a proper order. We conclude here. It is far easier for me as a minister to stand here and share with you what the Lord has taught me. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Things that I've learned sometimes the hard way by my own mistakes. Clint, that was you and not me. Things that I've learned about how we have to humble ourselves before God and others. You know, there's also another element of this balance. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and 17th verse says, obey those that have the rule over you. Maybe we ought to just read that in closing so we get it in its entirety. Hebrews 13 and 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. I can't speak for other ministers, but this is a much more difficult one to offer. This is part of the balance. This is part of the entirety of the Word of God. As I mentioned, the Word of God does not contradict itself. This is in harmony with the entirety of the Word of God, with the place of every member in the body that He places, of being subject one to another, of a minister being a servant. You know where the entirety of any of a minister's authority comes from? From God. And by the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon that individual. And it is God's leadership then, and God's order that I have to submit myself unto. It's not a head that we've set up. We say, because I have established myself in this place, you must heed what I say. What did the Bereans do? They listened, they received with gladness the things they've heard, and they went home and they searched diligently whether those things be so. Lord, help us that we submit ourselves unto the leadership of God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit as He has ordained in His body. And He's set different members in the body. He's set some evangelists, and He's set pastors, and He's set teachers, and all of these members in the body, Lord, what's the place you want me to fill? Lord, even if I'm just the smallest of instrument, you realize I've talked a lot about instruments and orchestras. There was a fulfillment in the New Testament of what true worship is to what the symbols were in the Old Testament, where David commanded. And we see throughout the Old Testament this example of instruments. And yet there's such a more beautiful fulfillment within the hearts of living instruments today. Lord, I might be the smallest, most insignificant of instruments, but Lord, if you touch me, if I hear your voice, Lord, I'm going to pipe up and I'm going to add my part, as little and insignificant as it might seem. And when all of us do that, it produces something that the Lord is able to use, as we read in 1 Corinthians, to convict, to convince, to bless, and to inspire. May God help us, each one, that we follow divine leadership in our individual lives and in this body. I pray for me. Amen.